what's happening.
Mike's going to Orlando tomorrow for a week. So I figured I would do all of the running and I would do all of the Bridgerton.
Another one is Love is Blind that people are telling me to watch.
I'm not watching that show.
We've seen
clips.
Yeah.
So I don't. My friends Nim and Ryan are into it. Like, they love watching it. It's just trash TV.
It's trash TV.
But they love it so much.
And you're telling me Naked Attraction isn't?
Naked Attraction, such trash TV.
Well, okay, so they keep telling me, they're like, you have to watch it. And Nim says that she loves it when the girls that are, like, super hot bimbos get, like, I don't know, turned down or whatever. Because that's the only thing they have going for them. And then they don't understand why. And then there's one chick, she sent me a little clip that she's like, people tell me that I look like Machine Gun Kelly's girlfriend, Megan Fox.
Oh, she's nothing like
that. She showed me a picture of her. Like, she showed me that clip. She's like, this girl's delusional. She looks nothing like her. I think kind of her eye makeup is similar.
Okay.
But eye makeup. That's it. Doesn't even have the same hair, nothing else.
Megan Fox smoking.
Yeah.
She's a smoke show.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and I saw one clip and it was this guy with like a list.
And
he had a list of qualities and questions that he would ask the partner. He was like some like big business analyst or something.
That makes sense.
Makes sense. And if they answered wrong, he'd be like, we're done here. And he would just leave.
What?
One of them tried to ask him a question in response, and he's like, no, this is, I'm asking questions, and then he left.
I'd be like, bye, good? Like,
right. It was wild. It was on that show Gogglebox that Mike and I watched, which could be trash TV, but.
I just watched, Baby Reindeer.
What?
That show is fucked up.
What?
It's based on like true events, kind of. It's a comedian. What?
True events or like actual events?
He said that it's compiled. So the writers that made the show is a comedian writer.
Yeah.
And he's the main character in the show.
Okay.
And it's based on things that actually happened to him and happened to or had happened to people that he's close with.
Oh.
So it's kind of like combined.
Okay.
And it's changed enough so that you don't know who the people are in it. But he has a stalker. And it's like crazy stalker. But then it goes into him like being essentially groomed by a guy.
Oh, and that's sad.
Getting like the guy's like, here, try meth, here, try these drugs, and then when he's like fucked up, he takes advantage of him.
Oh.
And then shortly after that he gets a stalker, and then he doesn't know where he is like sexually either on top of it, because he was abused by a man. Now he has this female stalker, he has a female girlfriend.
Wow.
And it's just like,
that's heavy.
At first I thought it was gonna be just like, I thought it'd be kind of like You.
Yeah.
Where it's like, whoa, this is crazy. But then it gets like so dark. But Greg and I watched it and we watched the first episode and we're like, wow, this is weird. And then we continued watching it just like mouths open, like, oh my God. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, it's dark enough where like, it's not I wish I hadn't watched it, because there are movies and stuff like that where I'm like, I could have done without that in my life.
Yeah.
But it's on the fence with that. Like, yeah. It was a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we were both watching it like, whoa.
Yeah.
But start Bridgerton.
I know. I think I'm going to, because I like.
You would love it. And their dresses.
And I love. I'm a hopeless romantic, and so, yeah.
It is, 100%. It's like Jane Austen on crack.
No.
Like.
My favorite.
All the people in it are beautiful, of course.
Yeah.
Then there's all this drama. Then there's, like, the, like, time period drama where, like, you are alone with a man outside of the ball with no chaperone. You must be married. Like,
yeah. So I love all that stuff. My favorite scene in any romance, anything, books, whatever, is when Mr. Darcy does the hand flex.
Yes.
Ugh.
There's a whole lot of that. It's like, it is. It's insane.
It's so good. Dimension 20, like the D&D group that I watch on TV with Brennan Lee Mulligan and that crew, they did A Court of Fae and Flowers, which is Bridgerton with fairies. You would actually get a kick out of it.
So it's ACOTAR.
Yeah.
Is Bridgerton with fairies. It's like, and like war.
It's like the Sun Court, and there's this big festival coming up, and all of these people are coming in for the festival, and there's like the Hobgoblin troupe, and then there's like the Sky Fae and everything that like come together.
Yeah, this is A Court of Thorns and Roses. Uh-huh. Which are you, when are you reading that?
I started reading Dune. And then
God damn it. No.
I know.
Put Dune down and read that later. Read the book that I read so we can talk about it.
Okay. Okay.
Do it.
Okay.
And then I'll read Dune with you.
Okay.
Because I have the set.
I do need somebody to read it with me so we can talk about it.
Yes. So you read.
Like a book club.
Read.
We can have a book club.
A Quarter Thorn. I'll start over again with them. I'll start reading them from the beginning, and then we can talk about them again. It won't be as good, though, because it won't be fresh.
Yeah.
But Greg, I accidentally sent him
Did you spoil it for
a
him?
Reel. It wasn't. I sent him the one that you sent me with Killian Murphy.
Because I send you all of the things, even though I have no idea what's going on. But I'm like, you'll get a kick out of it.
And I do. And then Greg said, oh, Killian Murphy, he just put like KM,
yeah,
CM, but whatever.
CM.
He's like, I can't picture him as I picture the guy from Split in like beast mode. And I'm like, no. Asriel is a sweet, sweet teddy bear. You just haven't gotten to that part yet.
You just haven't gotten to that part yet. I love Killian Murphy. I'm watching Peaky Blinders.
Yes.
So good. And I heard one of my friends pronounce his name Cillian Murphy, and I wanted to punch him. I was like, it's not Cillian, it's Killian.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
I've heard it pronounced that way. And I guess...
I just love his attitude and stuff. Like,
did you know he didn't know about that because he's not on social media?
No.
So he didn't know...
I knew he wasn't on social media, but I didn't know...
Like... I'm sure you've seen either the reels or TikToks bored Killian Murphy.
Bored Killian Murphy.
It's like, this is how I feel when I get to work. And it's him like making a bazillion bored, annoyed faces. Yeah, exactly.
My favorite.
He didn't know that was a thing until he was being interviewed and somebody pointed that out. They're like, how do you feel about this? And he's like, what?
I love it.
But
whatever.
From what I've read, he has like... his personal life and his acting life, and he doesn't get into the whole social media,
which is great
thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, which is cool of him.
It's respectful. Yeah.
I can already feel this caffeine working, and I am so happy.
Are you buzzing? Is your headache going away?
My headache is going away. Well, I don't feel like I drink a ton of caffeine. I have a small energy drink every morning instead of like coffee or tea or whatever. And then sometimes, like, if Greg and I go out to lunch or whatever, I'll get an iced tea.
Yeah.
But I'm not like downing Red Bulls all day.
Powered by caffeine.
You know, and I thought I drank a lot until I met up with Leanne, which I'll tell you about later.
Yeah.
I met up with her for like snacks. We exchanged Christmas and birthday presents because we haven't seen each other in forever.
Yeah.
And, oh, what was I going to say? Oh, she says she drinks coffee all day long.
Ooh, I don't do that. Mm-mm, that's gross.
Just
that's
like icky. Sipping coffee all day. Like, I could never.
I need water. I need other drinks.
I told her that, too. And she knows. She's like, I have to start drinking more water.
Yeah.
And I have my water bottle with the straw now, which I think I told you about already.
Yeah. Fancy. Bougie bitch.
Well, no. Not, it's a
gym bitch.
It's a Camelback water bottle with a straw, where before I just had the Nalgene twist-off tops.
Yeah.
Greg has one that's got a twist-off top, but it's also magnetic.
Ooh.
But every time I've used that, I just magnet it closed without twisting it, and it leaks all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
But I have one with, like, the gummy straw, and I probably drank 100 ounces of water every day. I love it. I carry it around with me, and that's just all. It just makes my day.
Half of your body weight in ounces a day.
Oh, I'm over that, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't weigh 200 pounds. Yes, I'm over that.
Yeah. That's good. That's like what you're supposed to be drinking.
Speaking of drinking, when you house it for me, is it going to bother you if my entire refrigerator is Jello shots?
We've talked about this. It's fine.
Well, I know, like, the I know, like, the bar and stuff and having, like, beer in the basement is one thing.
First of all, it's, like, one night. I'm not too worried about it.
I know, but it's, like, hey, because...
you're going to come home the next day and I called into work and just, like, Jello shot containers.
Your whole,
like...
your mouth and face is green. You're just laying on the floor, hiccuping in a pile of...
Bubbles come up.
Yeah, in a pile of... It was more... It wasn't even really so much about drinking. It was like, that's what my whole refrigerator
It's fine.
Don't judge me.
I hang out in the basement and chill with the doggies. And by that time, all of my schoolwork will be done.
Oh, so nice. You can watch Bridgerton at my house.
I can watch Bridgerton at your house.
I'm doing Jello shots for graduation.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Also, I found out that Disco Dogs is going to be at the Nickel day of graduation. They're going to be parked out front. So yeah. Joshy's going to be slinging dogs out front, listening to disco with his little sequiny helmet that he wears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going, I'm wearing my Ahsoka Tano dress. Because it's May the 4th, and the commencement speaker actually did work at Lucas Studios. They did it on purpose.
Nice.
So, and I also have a couple nifty gifties for Abby, who's, she got a job at out west.
Okay.
So she's going to be moving, like, middle of June, and I'm going to miss her to pieces, but.
Where's she moving to out west?
Spokane.
Yeah.
Yeah. She got a job at a Christian university out there, and I already, like, deep dove on the website, and they're the Whitlock or Whitford Pirates or something. So I'm going to order a hoodie. I'm going to be very supportive.
Mm-hmm. That is nice.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to graduation with Bree because I think Bree's boyfriend Josh is graduating too. So.
Maybe I'll wear my Star Wars t-shirt that day.
Hell yeah.
I have a couple.
Yes.
Do you remember the one I got from you? It was like, I don't know why you gave it to me. You're getting rid of clothes.
I was getting rid of clothes.
But it's kind of like vintagey, and I can't remember what it has on the front, but it's like a baseball tee, and the sleeves are gray.
Yes.
Love that thing.
Yeah. We should probably.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing stuff.
A podcast. Oh, and I do have to work, so. Yeah. And I did that message that I got on my phone, the ding dong.
Yeah.
Was the people actually checking out.
Oh, okay. So
we had a great time, beautiful, blah, blah, blah.
Good. Yay.
Wait. We did leave a little mess on one of the chairs in the living room and rug. We tried cleaning. Motherfucker. I wonder, why do you say that? Why do you just say, we left a little mess?
We tried cleaning it.
There was a bird in the house when they got there. That's bad luck.
That is bad luck.
Anyway.
It's like a Death Watch beetle.
Yeah.
Like in Practical Magic. Oh, mm-hmm. Did the bird fly around the light 3 times? Because.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're hanging out in the 1970s in Late Night with the Devil, which came out in 2023. It's an hour and 33 minutes long. You can find it on Shudder and AMC Plus if you're subbed, or Amazon, you can buy it for $14.99, which I did because we don't have Shudder or AMC Plus.
Are you serious?
After watching the film, I greatly regretted my decision.
Oh, no.
But it's okay. It's directed by Cameron Cairns and Colin Cairns. and written by the same two. It stars David Dasmalchian.
Yes.
As Jack, the head of the TV show. He was in Oppenheimer, Belko Experiment. He's been in a lot of stuff. He was a minor character in Belko.
Yeah. And then, I was trying to think. I'm like, yeah. I don't remember him from that, but.
Laura Gordon as June. She was in Saw 5 and a few other, like, Australian films. Ian Bliss as Carmichael. He was in the Matrix movies. I don't think the first one, but he was in the other ones. Faisal Bazzi as Christo. He was in Peter Rabbit and a movie called Caught with Susan Sarandon. And then Ingrid Torelli as Lily, the little girl. She was in Five Bedrooms, which is a TV show that's been going on for about 5 years.
Okay.
So, very quick, but.
All right. So, this is kind of, it's kind of like a found footage crossover. Yeah. Like, it's kind of set up to be a documentary, but then isn't at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm just the premise of this film, super awesome. Like, I think the idea,
it's such a good idea.
It is so good. It just wasn't executed well. In my in my horror movie opinion, it wasn't executed well.
Agreed.
No real background information, a ton. Like, no explanation for some things.
Once we talk about it, we'll get talk all about the movie, then we'll get into that because I agree with you.
Yeah.
Now, the intro, it's set up to be like documentary style about like an event that happened. So it's the intro starts out like that. Oh, do you know that the narrator is the guy from Starship Troopers?
What guy?
The main, like, the sergeant guy, the older guy.
I love that.
He does a ton of voice acting, I guess.
I could definitely see that.
He's been in other stuff, but that's the first thing that, like, popped in my head that he's been in.
Starship Troopers. I know. Such a good movie.
And I knew that you would immediately know who I was talking about. Okay.
You Wanna Live Forever?
Yes. Okay. Him.
Great.
So, 1971, the first episode of Night Owls with Jack Del Rey was on. Jack Del Roy? Jack Del Roy.
Yeah. It's the TV, like, Night Owls, like, that's kind of a cool TV show for a late night show.
Yeah.
Or a TV show name.
They were on for about a year, and in 1972, they signed a 5-year deal. So, he was catching on. I think before that, Jack was a radio.
Yeah.
He was in radio. Now, it comes out in this little, like, intro that Jack is a member of The Grove, which is, like, a members-only, like, elite California club.
It's like a summer camp for the rich and powerful.
Yes.
Only men.
Only men. It's a real thing. Did you know that?
Shut up.
No, it's the Bohemian Grove. It's a real club in California.
That's so dumb.
For men. Rich and powerful. There's a whole list of, like, famous people that have been to the club.
I hate that.
It's true, though.
Elitist bullshit.
I mean, and it started, like, 1800s, too.
I could see that.
It's, like, old.
Like the skulls.
Yeah, and they also have, like, shit like this. Like,
blood sacrifices?
No, not sacrifices, but you know the thing with the owls, like the pageantry of it and like that kind of like ritual stuff. I guess that actually happens there. I don't know for sure.
I mean, whatever.
I skimmed about it.
Live your life as long as you're not hurting anybody, but.
Yeah. So it comes out that he's a member of this club because it's kind of like the beginning of like a Dateline or something where it's like, and then this happened and then this.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. He's bummed that he's not beating Carson. So it's like they're going head to head, but Jack's just not as good. He's on a different network. In 76, his wife, lovely wife, Madeline, discovers she has terminal lung cancer and dies shortly after.
Very shortly after.
Mm-hmm.
She was on an episode of Night Owls with Jack, and her dress is beautiful, like the red velvet dress. Mm-hmm. I love
She's
that.
Beautiful.
I love that style. Gorgeous. But yeah, she dies 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm. His ratings are tanking. He starts going for like cheap stunts, kind of turning into like a Jerry Springer.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, like
court TV.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Mm-hmm. Intentionally setting up so like the guests argue with each other.
Yeah.
And there's drama.
Garbage.
Mm-hmm. Now it comes down to sweeps week, end of October. October 31st is the beginning, 1977. And the documentary that we're watching is based on live backstage footage of this one particular episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now they do a normal intro. It reminds me of Carson.
Oh yeah.
Letterman, Leno, you know, that mm-hmm. it's spooky jokes. Halloween.
Yeah.
They're making jokes. He does his like intro. It's nothing great. I feel like he picks on Gus quite a bit.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
Who's like his sidekick guy.
Yeah.
The first guest is Christu. Christu's a psychic. Mm-hmm. So the whole theme on Halloween night is they're doing, you know,
paranormal stuff.
Mm-hmm. Christu's the first one, and he starts out with like the typical, it is like a con.
Oh, yes.
You walk into a room with 100 people and you're like, I'm sensing a name beginning with R. And then
it's like,
and then,
Rochelle, Rachel, Robbie.
Yeah.
Oh, Robbie.
It could also be Robert, maybe. I'm definitely. And then just waiting. He's thrown out 10 names waiting for someone to be like, I know a Roberta, you
yeah.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when he confronts them, oh, yeah, Roberta passed over, blah, blah, blah. And just starts throwing out guesses until the person
yeah.
hits. So that's how it starts out. The first guy makes fun of him, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that's my ex-wife. You know, no, we're no longer together. She ran off with the mailman. You know, just mm-hmm. like making jokes,
yeah.
kind of picking fun at him. And you could tell Christy's like annoyed.
Yeah.
So then he starts over and he's got like a really strong accent,
mm-hmm.
which he drops. I don't mm-hmm. know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
So he's got this really strong accent. Well, then he finds two women in the front row, a mother and a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, makes the connection, finds out that they'd lost someone. And then they have, like, what would appear to be
a legitimate
reading. Now, you think, okay, that's exactly what he was going for when, you know. He's going to mm-hmm. have more people following him on his tour dates, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, then, right before the commercial break, he gets like a super intense, an actual
thing.
Yeah. So I kind of think he's one of those, he's the type of person that maybe has, he can actually like channel
yeah.
spirits, but he did it once or twice, realized, hey, I can
make some money off this.
Make some money.
Yeah.
So now it's like a production.
Yeah.
Instead of just like Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost.
Yeah.
Like at first she's kind of a con and then the real deal.
Yeah.
Now he has like a super intense spirit connection. He says it's Minnie. He wants somebody to claim it.
Yeah.
His eyes roll back into his head. Pretty disgusting because
there's,
one rolls back
yeah.
and then the other one.
There's somebody that's not married but wears a ring and it's
yes.
and it's Minnie. Like somebody please claim her. Like
an unmarried man with a ring,
mm-hmm.
I think is what he says.
Yeah.
And he's like, somebody please. And Jack is just standing there like, oh, you know. And then someone, his sidekick, Gus, was like, oh, could it be like a Molly or a... And he's like, no, Minnie.
Yeah.
And cut to commercial. Now, when this is all going on, too, he drops his accent.
Yeah. So you know it's real.
Yeah. Now, on, they go cut to commercial. So this is like the live footage of the airing that was on, and then the backstage footage, which
you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Now, Gus is concerned about one of the guests coming out. You don't really know, like, what's. And then Christy's got a nosebleed. And they're like, nope, rush him back on stage.
Yeah.
After this break. Now, the next... So, Christy is sitting on the stage, and he's noticeably fucked up. And the makeup girl comes to put makeup on him, makeup woman. And he, like, grabs her arm and is like, don't do this to me. And he's, like, coughing a little bit.
Yeah.
He just doesn't seem good.
Yeah.
And he wanted to leave. He wanted to just, like, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Now, Carmichael, who some... Okay, for this, sometimes I wrote Carmichael and sometimes I wrote Haig.
Yeah.
Because it's his last name.
Yeah. But
for the most part, I think I wrote Carmichael. He comes on and he is a skeptic of the paranormal.
He's a hypnotist.
Yes.
So he comes on and he figures that he knows all of the gimmicks that people do.
Well, he was a magician.
He was a magician.
He was a magician, hypnotist. So he is like a major skeptic. He founded a research organization for skeptics. He carries around a check with him for $100,000. To give to somebody if they can prove the paranormal.
Yeah.
And he's like, no takers. Yeah. And he's just a dick.
He's a dick.
He's a Debbie Downer, ruining the good times for everybody. Yeah. But he basically calls out Christy and is like, I know you're a con.
Yeah. Which, some of the things, sure.
Yeah. He could have been... polite about
it. He could have been polite. Yeah.
Been like, I don't agree with it. I understand it's like fun, you know.
And it's your livelihood.
Entertaining your it's livelihood. Entertaining. Mm-hmm. But I'm on the other side of it. But no, he has to be a huge jerk. So of course Christy gets mad, throws a drink at him and walks off.
Yeah.
Jack talks about the last reading.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's he called his wife that. That was his wife's nickname.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, Christy, as he's trying to, like, get off stage, he collapses and, like, projectile vomits black goo everywhere.
It's like the dinosaur in Jurassic Park.
Yes. It's like he's spitting black
acid,
slime.
Black tar.
vomits everywhere. He, like... veins are like popping out all over his neck and face, and he like screams something's not right.
Yeah.
And they like get him off the stage. Now, during that break, the next break, obviously, Carmichael corners Jack and is like, I know you're a member of the Grove, invite me to the Grove, blah blah blah, the orgies, the this and that, like what goes on out there.
It's just icky.
And it's kind of like getting chaotic backstage because they're like rushing Christy to the hospital.
Yeah, and the lights flickered, so they don't know what's wrong with the lights.
They're having a ton of like electronic issues. The next guest is a woman, a doctor, and a girl that she had essentially rescued from a cult.
Yeah.
And the doctor had written a book about it.
Conversations with the Devil.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then to as like a lead-in, so June is the doctor, and then Lily is the girl. As a lead-in before their interview, they play a video of the cult activity, essentially, that Lily was rescued from.
Yeah. It's insane.
70s and their cults, man.
And they do talk about that, like, in the beginning with the narration. It's just like, oh, the 1970s were a wild time. Like, the paranormal was booming. Amityville, the Manson family.
But I don't really feel like it was booming.
Son of Sam, like.
Because you look at stuff from, like, the 20s and 30s where, like, the occult got super
and
popular.
That is, yeah. Like, so, seances and stuff.
Yeah, that was, like, big deal. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched Penny Dreadful?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, like, around that time, you mm-hmm. know? Like, I think that was 1800, so wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, seances and the mm-hmm. occult just started, like, really interesting people. I guess once it got past being burnt at the stake for being into it, people got into it.
People got into it, yeah. They were just like, oh, I can do this without being hung. That's
yeah,
nice.
Now I'm just kind of like the weird aunt.
Yeah.
I'm not like...
With crystals and things.
Yeah. With, you know, tarot cards. Not like, yeah, I'm going to be burnt at the stake or tortured somehow for having some crystals on my windowsill.
Yeah. God.
But it is kind of it's the beginning of the satanic panic.
Yes.
Now, this documentary inside a documentary, this documentary on a late night talk show inside a documentary, was essentially about this cult, and the cult leader had...
It was Abraxas, the first church of Abraxas.
Did you read about Abraxas at
no.
all? Is that like a...
Uh-uh.
I didn't either. Now, in this cult, there was rumors that children were being raised for human sacrifice. They show, like, a pregnant woman. They show little kids. They show, you know, it's kind
yeah.
of like, but then when the cult's about to be busted, I'm assuming for child abuse and whatever else
mm-hmm.
was going on there, drug abuse, the cult leader has all of his members douse themselves in gasoline and set themselves on fire in the house. The house burns down. One girl, 10-year-old girl, survives unharmed from
unscathed.
The fire. Yeah. They don't know her name. They name her Lily. And as she's in therapy
this
with...
This chick has seen some stuff.
Yeah. With June, June essentially adopts her.
Yeah.
And, like, takes her in and... so they show the cult stuff. They talk about... Her first name is June, but I'm just calling her Dr. June.
Yeah.
They play a tape of an interview that June had with Lily,
mm-hmm.
where Lily definitely sounds possessed.
Oh, yeah.
Her voice is all over mm-hmm. the place. Multiple voices. The
yeah.
typical possession tape.
Yes.
And then they're like, okay, well, and now let's welcome our guests.
Why would you ever just, I don't know.
Now, okay, for Lily, they had to have done a voiceover, right?
Yeah.
That is not her voice.
Like the kid voice?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She has, like, the deepest, like, kid voice I've ever heard. Sorry, hang on.
No, you're fine. I also like when she sits down, she's, like, staring at the camera and super awkward. And then, like, Jack is talking to her and stuff. And Lily is just, like... I think you're going to be very famous soon.
Yeah, that. Just, and she just... talks about his wife. And she talks about the show ratings.
Yeah.
And then she says that she's like, Dr. June finds you really attractive.
Yeah.
And like, just shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's just kind of like blurting stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, at this point, she's 13.
Yeah.
She's very pretty. But her voice doesn't sound.
Yeah.
Like
a 13-year-old. Like
a 13-year-old voice. So I wonder if they did a voiceover or changed it somehow.
Yeah.
Because it does sound like one step above a demon voice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on a break, so they chit-chat a little bit. On the first break between them, June is talking to Jack, and... June's like, okay, we can't do this. We can't,
yeah.
like,
she's not
stress
on
her
display.
Out. She's not on display. This could be very bad for her. And Jack is, like, pushing.
Of course he is.
Big time.
He needs ratings.
Because he needs ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to see some, like, demonic activity on his show. Mm-hmm. Now, the producer then pulls Jack aside and says that Christu... essentially hemorrhaged out on the way to the hospital and is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think if he would have left and not stayed for like an interview after, if he would have been fine?
I don't know. I was thinking that too, because he wanted to leave. I don't know if like once he had the like
the mini situation,
if that just like caused this like unstoppable downward spiral, yeah. Or if he would have gotten out, gotten fresh air, been away from maybe Lily, it would have helped.
And I always wonder this too. And going back to the possession of the, of Michael King with the priest saying like, well, once you let the devil in, there's no going back. I'm like, why would you? Maybe because he's a skeptic and like doesn't believe in any of it. So he's just like, yeah, let's do a seance on TV. Like,
that's exactly it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because Gus was like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. Like, one, this is like, no.
This is freaky and weird. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Poor Gus.
Yeah. So during this break, Carmichael is down talking to the women in the front row, trying to disprove Christu.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, yeah, when we came in, like, people were asking us questions and blah, blah, blah. And this person and that person, we had to fill out a survey. They didn't say, like, what about, but that was enough to, like, to get Carmichael to be like, fraud.
Okay. Yeah.
So then when the show starts back up, it's basically Carmichael harassing the shit out of June.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm a doctor. I graduated college.
Like, I have a PhD. Like, stop.
Like, I am part of this institute that researches paranormal phenomenon. Like,
yeah. Like, it's a legitimate thing.
Like, yeah. Like, fuck off. And who are you?
Even Lily is just like, why do you have to be so rude? I mean, it's Mr. It's her demon friend, I'm sure, talking, but
yeah. So he just starts harassing the shit out of them, and then Lily says that the demon's name is Mr. Riggles.
Yeah.
Just like, ugh. But then
it makes sense.
In Exorcist too, the demon had a name. Like, she called him something.
Yeah.
I suppose.
I mean, the demon has to make friends with a kid.
Yeah.
So, like, have a fun name or whatever.
Well, that's just what she calls him. And she says it's because he wriggles his way into her brain.
Blech.
Yeah. Ugh. Now, Jack, of course, on live TV, against June's wishes, asks Lily to invite Riggles to be a guest on the show, to talk on the show.
I hate everything.
Yeah. June immediately is like, absolutely not. And then she's on air. They're all on air. So she is just kind of like cornered into agreeing to this. Now they have to have a chair with restraints, obviously.
Yeah.
To summon a fucking demon. And this is when Gus is like, no.
Yeah. Like, this is insane.
Yeah. Now they kind of hypnotize, or June kind of hypnotizes Lily. She's in like an office chair with restraints.
Yeah.
She wriggles immediately. Like, she has this weird monster face. She's like growling.
She does. It reminds me of The Conjuring.
Like, yeah. She has like a heavy brow.
Yeah.
Her eyes are a different color. Yeah. Her skin goes a different color. And Mr. Wriggles, I should say, says that she already knows Jack.
Yep. Knows all about him.
Knows all about him. Mm-hmm. She met him between the tall trees or something.
Yeah. So the grove.
The grove.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts talking shit about June and Jack banging.
Yeah.
Because
June and Jack went up the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she just gets obnoxious and obscene. A lot of possession.
Lot of possession movies, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So June slaps her. Then she goes in to apologize. Then she has like a hardcore monster face.
Monster face, big time.
Like a wolf face.
Yeah.
And then everything dies down. She starts crying. Her chair raises up in the air. She has a nosebleed. Like,
possession.
Possession.
Every possession movie.
Now, they go to a break. Jack tries to convince June to be a regular
on
the show and talks about, like, the ratings. Gus then tells Carmichael about Christu. And he says something like, oh, yeah, he died. And he's like, oh, you mean out there on stage? Ha ha. And he's like, no, he's dead.
Like, he actually died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that has to be something for, like, Carmichael. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, shit.
Like, he... I mean, there does get to be a turning point where he knows.
I think everybody kind of knows at that
everybody
point.
Everybody kind of knows.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
Now, some of the staff has left.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Because it's too creepy. The producer comes over, says the ratings are out of control, and they're celebrating.
It's typical. Yeah. I mean.
Typical non-believer.
Ratings.
Now, of course, Carmichael, when the show starts back up, he wants to disprove this. So what does he do? Hypnotizes Gus.
This was fucking scary.
This was scary.
This part was scary. This, I was like, oh, fuck. Is this really fucking happening?
That's
like,
exactly.
I thought it was really happening.
So what he does is he has a watch on a chain, and it has the little, like, black and white spiral in it.
Yeah.
So he holds it up. Carmichael does, and he essentially hypnotizes the entire audience for the most part. He hypnotizes Gus, the little spirals on the screen, so he hypnotizes the audience and viewers. So this is one giant
fucked up,
because he says no, June hypnotized the audience.
Yeah,
that didn't actually happen. We were all under, like, a spell, essentially. I'll show you what she did to disprove it. So he's sitting there talking to Gus after everyone's supposedly been hypnotized. And Gus is like, ooh, you know, it's getting hot. So he takes his jacket off.
Yep.
And you can tell his neck starts to, like, swell.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my skin is itchy. And then, like, creepy music plays. And then he's got a little cut on his neck. Now, Gus is terrified of worms.
Yeah.
Random thing.
Yeah.
So he goes and he's like, oh, I cut myself shaving. And he pulls worms out of it.
Oh.
And, of course, starts panicking. You can tell the rest of the
and
section.
And so then he, like, his skin starts getting itchy. And at this point, too, Carmichael is kind of freaking out.
Yeah.
This is what made me think that it was actually happening. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And so then, like, he starts unbuttoning his shirt and his stomach is, like, wiggly and stuff. And he just, like, rips open his stomach and all of these worms and dirt are piling out of his stomach. And Carmichael's, like, freaking the fuck out.
Yeah. Carmichael jumps up and is, like, walking away from him.
Yeah.
And Gus is, like, help, like, kind of, like, in a, like, help me situation. Well, then the eye thing. Ugh. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can.
So then his face starts to kind of, like, explode and his eye comes out of his eye socket and there are worms and everything like that. And then all of a sudden.
No, big giant worm comes out of his eye.
Oh, a big giant worm.
Like a worm the size of my arm, like, pops out of his eyeball.
Ew. This part was actually, like.
Gross.
Gross and scary. I didn't like it at all.
Now. He essentially then what tells he's like dreamer awake.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Wakes everybody up. So in the meantime, too, Lily didn't watch the screen. She's not hypnotized. So she's laughing. She's like, why is Gus acting so silly? And she's laughing. Everyone else is like mortified.
Yeah.
On what's happening.
Yeah.
And then
some people, though, like, aren't hypnotizable. Like, you can't hypnotize them. So I feel like there might be, like, one or two people in the audience.
And he says that. He's like, was there anyone in the audience? And you hear, like, a couple people that, like, didn't see anything.
Good for them.
Exactly. So he calls it off. Gus, like, wakes up and he's like, oh, how did this happen? And, like, buttons his shirt back up, puts his jacket on. He's embarrassed.
Poor Gus.
And then they're like, everyone saw the worms.
Uh-huh.
So how many people saw the worms? Okay, now play back the tape of what actually happened. And it's Carmichael sitting there, and he's like, do you hear that music? What's this? And he's like leading him into what actually happened. So nothing happened.
Yeah.
Just everyone was hypnotized. Now, Gus is super embarrassed, and he's so sweet. I just feel so bad for him.
I know.
And then once again, Carmichael goes after June, and Lily brings up, like, well, playback, it would be fair to play back my part of the tape then. If it was supposedly, like,
yeah.
If it was just, like, hypnotism.
Yeah.
Then let's watch that again. And, of course, June is like, absolutely not.
Yeah, but we're not doing this.
And they're supposed to have, like, the next guest come on. And they're like, no, now we're doing this instead.
If I was the next guest, I would just be like, okay, I'm out.
It was the music.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they play back Lily's possession. And it's real.
The same.
No one was hypnotized. And then there's, like, flickering in the film. Jack's like, slow down this part. And he slows it down to a point where there's ghost wife, Minnie,
mm-hmm.
with her hand on his shoulder.
Yeah.
In like one frame of the film. Ugh. Now, I would hope if I came back as a ghost, I would be beautiful and not the way I died.
Ghost, your like, ghost self is how you die. I know. Isn't
sometimes
it awful?
It's not, though.
Mm.
But yeah.
That's true.
So she's got her head wrap on, and her eyes are all sunken in, and she's in like her house coat thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so then Carmichael sees this, and he's like, oh, we're all coming back. It's all wrapped around. It's all planned. This whole thing is fake and staged. We're bringing Minnie back into it again.
Dude, just go home.
Exactly.
Just go home.
Now, at this point, Lily watching herself possessed probably wasn't the best idea, because then electricity starts like running all through the whole place, and electricity, lightning shoots Lily.
Yeah.
Now she's like stretched out. So she's got her arms out. Electricity's going one way out of one hand, the other hand. And she's like screaming.
Yeah.
Everyone's screaming. The lights are flickering. Papers are flying everywhere. Yep. Kind of the end of the show.
No shit.
Now, this caught me off guard, and it was super cool when her head splits in half.
Yes. This was pretty cool.
She's like glowing fire, and her eyes are like bright. Like, she's just essentially like a flame at this point.
Yeah.
But her head cracks in half, so her eyes are super wide set, and then there's like fire shooting out of her.
Yeah.
But like,
creepy.
But like hellfire, not like flame fire.
Yes.
Which reminds me, I set my grill on fire last night and we had to use the fire extinguisher.
What?
Yeah. That just reminded me of that. And I was starving and my chicken was almost done, but Greg started talking to me, so I didn't go out there and check it, and we hadn't cleaned our grill from last year. The grill caught on fire. We had to use a fire extinguisher on it, so all my chicken was ruined. So I ended up eating fucking quinoa and vegetables with no chicken last night for dinner. I almost started crying.
That sounds like hell.
But you know,
where's my protein?
You get as hungry as I do.
I get ravenously hungry when I got back from the run today. That's why I binged on Mythical Creatures.
Yeah, that cookies. The fire shooting out of her head reminded me of the fire shooting out of the grill last night, and how I
well, I'm glad your house isn't like burned down.
I mean, it wasn't like I ran.
It was
out
a controlled
there.
Fire.
I turned it off. I turned off the gas tank. Greg grabbed the fire extinguisher. But then this is whatever. Fuck it. I had opened the grill and there was fire in it, obviously. But I had just taken a shower and I kind of singed the hair off of the top of my hand.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the night, I washed my hand and I washed up my arm.
Mm-hmm.
I smelled like fucking barbecue. You know how bad it is when all you want is grilled chicken?
And all you smell is barbecue?
And all you smell is barbecue.
You were in hell.
I was. I'm trying to think what I ate instead, because I was like...
It's like the scene in Constantine where the guy is drinking and all he wants is a drink.
Yes.
The poor guy.
That was me last night. And then the chicken is still on the grill because I just shut the grill and I'm like, fuck everything. I was so mad. I was so mad.
I hate everything.
And now I want grilled chicken and I have no grill to cook it. So like.
You do have a grill. You just need to clean it. Or is the grill like.
The grill's fine. Like, it needs the burners replaced.
Yeah.
And obviously it needs to be cleaned. But now I'm like, fuck that grill. Maybe I'll just go buy one of those little charcoal grills, the little tailgating ones.
Yeah, those are nice.
Just to cook like my one.
I just want one chicken.
Piece of grilled chicken with some taco seasoning sprinkled on it.
Ooh.
Life is so hard right now. I'm mad again.
First world problems.
Now I'm angry that I didn't eat. And Greg knew that I was like borderline losing my shit over it. And he's like, I will go right now and I will buy you whatever you want to eat. And I'm like, I'll sit here and eat my unsalted fucking vegetables
fucking
and
bullshit.
Quinoa. This is bullshit.
Fuck quinoa.
But then I ate something else too. I just kept snacking then the rest of the night. And the good shit, you know, like. But like. I just snacked the rest of the night and nothing tasted like the grilled chicken I wanted to eat.
I understand.
Maybe a little sprinkle of mozz on there too.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no.
Head splitting open.
Head splitting open reminded me that I did not get to eat grilled chicken last night. Okay. Now, I don't know why Gus didn't run right
just
out
run
of there.
Run right out there. This isn't The Exorcist.
He takes off his little cross necklace and is like, the power of Christ compels you.
Dude, that's not real.
Did this come out before The Exorcist?
That's not real life. The Exorcist came out in...
I just wondered, because this would have been 77. And I feel like The Exorcist was after that.
I feel like
not.
The Exorcist was after this, too.
Might have been earlier.
If I could type.
I feel like late 70s, early 80s was like the boom of horror movies.
That's kind of what I'm thinking too.
Gus gets his neck broken. He gets his head almost twisted right off.
73.
Okay.
So he did an Exorcist thing, which is funny because we did The Exorcist and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks at him and his head immediately breaks. His head's like on backwards.
I feel like that's like the easy way out of these.
Compared to the other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I would have been fine
with
that. I
hope a lot of the audience escaped before
Me
all
too.
This shit went on.
Yeah.
Now June like also situation. Grabs her necklace and she starts like trying to cast out. But at this point, too far gone.
Just fucking leave, man.
Too far gone.
Just leave.
So the necklace like pulls back, lifts her up in the air and is choking her and slices her neck open.
Yeah.
Cuts her throat. So now she's dead. Now Jack is on the fence about running. Carmichael melts, essentially.
Carmichael goes with the check and like holds it up to Splithead Lily.
Yeah.
And is thinking that money is going to matter. And then the check burns up and then he melts.
Yeah. It's like he melts from the inside.
Yeah.
Like.
That would have sucked.
Like, I can't explain it. But yeah, he catches on fire / melts.
Yeah.
Jack runs kind of off stage and is like looking back at her. And then the door shuts.
Yeah.
So you think that he's like safe.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's goes to static where you see a creepy face, which
yeah.
is cool.
Yeah.
And then station difficulties comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And when that comes up, I always think of like The Simpsons where it's like something and they show like a little funny cartoon
yeah.
about like what's going on. Now, it should have ended there.
It should have ended there.
Because this is supposed to be a documentary, right?
Yes.
So that should have been the end. But instead, it goes into, like, Jack's mind.
Ugh. Why? We didn't need this. Like, we didn't need it.
Which is traveling outside of the initial storyline.
Yes.
That's what pissed me off. It should have ended at station difficulties and then done, like, the, like, Texas Chainsaw.
Like follow-up thing
or follow-up, like.
And, cops coming in.
And Jack Delroy was never seen again.
Some bullshit. You know,
just like end the documentary.
Jack Delroy left television forever and
yeah.
whatever.
And then had clips of him, you know, like with sunglasses on and like a low hat
yeah.
trying to like hide from people and mm-hmm. like kind of escaping publicity forever, leaving.
Yeah, because he wouldn't be charged. At this point, he wouldn't have been charged with anything if he just would have left.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, instead, it like goes into his mind, like his kind of like hallucinations.
Yeah.
So he's back on stage all of a sudden and everything is normal and mm-hmm. he's freaking out. Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And Gus is like, what do you mean? Ha ha. Like joking. Yeah. Then he has a guest, animal expert guest mm-hmm. who has like a giant worm.
Yeah.
He sees his wife again.
Which the wife scene was fucked up.
Yes. So, but during the scene, his wife is in bed dying, and it hints to him asking for like fame and fortune and sacrificing her.
At what cost? And she knew about it too.
Yeah.
From what you gather.
So it sounds like he went through a ritual and he knew that he'd have to make like a major sacrifice. Maybe not knowing it was his wife.
Maybe. But like, dude, they're going to go after something you love. You know this. You can't just have your cake and eat it too. Like,
exactly.
That's not how the devil especially doesn't work that way if
yeah.
there is a devil.
So it basically comes down to her dying was the price of his fame.
Yeah. And he killed her.
Yeah.
Like he, because she was dying anyway and he put her out of her misery essentially.
In the flashback. If that actually happened.
He would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, she's laying in the bed. She's begging him to kill her
mm-hmm.
because she's in so much pain. So he does.
Yeah.
He has the ritual dagger sitting there next to her bed for some reason and stabs her. When he gets done like crying about it and kind of lifts his head up, he had stabbed Lily.
Yep.
But
whoopsies.
Lily appeared normal self again.
Yep.
But if you notice, there was still June who'd been choked out or, you know, choked.
Burned Carmichael.
Gus with his head on backwards.
And it was all on film.
So.
Right.
So what the fuck was that ending?
Yeah. I hated it.
I hated the end, and I just think that it was such a good idea. It was a unique take
so good.
On Possession.
Yes.
Which I'd never seen before.
Never
and
seen
Greg
it.
Watched the previews for it. We watched it twice.
Okay.
We watched it like last week or something.
Yeah.
And then that's when you're like, pick a movie. I'm like, well, I just watched this
yeah.
and I wanted your opinion on it.
Yeah.
I just wish the end would have been left out.
Yes. I think I agree with you with the station difficulties. I think if it would have ended there, done the Texas Chainsaw Massacre flashback thing
yeah.
where the narrator comes in and kind of like wraps it up in a nice little bow.
Yeah.
That would have been better in my opinion.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think if they wanted to tie it in a way that like... to make it so he did sacrifice his wife.
Yeah.
And so that he did know about, like...
Yeah.
They should have had, like, the backstage cameras. Mm-hmm. While all this is going on, he should have, like, run backstage and been confronted with his wife. Like, spirit of his
wife.
Like,
spirit wife.
And being like...
Ooh, that would have been good.
I know...
What you did.
I know.
And kind of had the wife and the devil thing, like...
Yes.
Ah!
They should have done something with that, because going into his mind goes outside of, like, the plot.
Yeah.
Like, that it didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
other than that, it was
like
was fun. It was a fun movie to watch.
It was a fun movie to watch. I thought it was interesting.
And I like how it built in scariness.
Yes.
Like, first the stuff with Christy happened, which was really creepy.
Yeah.
Then her possession stuff. And then when Gus was an audience hypnotized, that was all great. I love that, how that was going.
Yeah. The ending sucked.
Yeah.
Just, if you watch it, just end it at station difficulties and be done with it.
And they should have brought in the narrator again and had like more clips and a wrap up of, you know, the producer was arrested or something. But instead, to go into that weird separate,
kind of like
1408.
Yeah.
Like, that vibe just was dumb.
Like, if you're going to do that, then you should have done it the entire movie.
Yes. Yeah.
And just had his perspective the entire movie.
They shouldn't have made it.
I need to trim your nails.
Documentary style.
Yeah.
It should have just started with, like, the, maybe like a little montage in the beginning of him kind of like building his fame.
Yeah.
And then made it like a regular.
Yeah.
Because trying to do like the found footage and this other thing didn't work for me.
Correct. Same. Yeah.
That's my two cents.
Good pick though, because I like throwing these ones in that like both of us hadn't really seen. And then we can kind of talk about them. Goriness.
I'd say a 3 because of the worms.
The worms. Ugh.
Yeah.
Scariness.
I'd say, I always say 1 for scary because it takes a lot.
It takes a lot for me to be.
Nothing is, I'm not going to lose any sleep over anything that I saw.
Correct.
So 1.
Yeah. That sounds adequate.
I would probably not recommend it.
I don't know if I would recommend it either.
If I knew somebody that was really into possession stuff, I might be like, hey, have you checked this out?
Like, check it out.
But I wouldn't, like, rave to people about it just because of the end.
Yeah. Because I really like possession movies. And like we've talked about, it was different.
Yeah.
But
it was a really good idea that
I would have rather watched The Possession.
Yeah. They could have done way more with it.
Yeah, and found footage possession movies are really cool. Like
The
Last Possession or The Last Exorcism or something with a priest, which we haven't done, but that one's kind of cool. But anyway, any other thoughts?
No, I think that's pretty much all of my opinions on it. I think, I don't know, it was good, but it wasn't great. I wish they would have done more with it.
Yeah, same.
Are you happy, Mike, that we're both voicing our opinions of not liking it?
She did not like it.
I immediately like finished it last night and I was just like,
It started good though.
Strong.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you like what you hear and you want to know what we're going to be doing in the future or whatever, follow us on Instagram. It's /movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, /movie review. And if iTunes and Spotify aren't your jam, listen to us every Friday night on mtrsradio.com at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Is Mike making a face at you?
He was.
Is it one of those things like where when you smile on the phone, people can tell you're smiling?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
All right. Well, I hope everybody has a good night and a good week.
Bye.
Bye.